From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel, and we're going to take a very short field trip for a moment. I'm still in Washington, D.C., on 16th Street, standing in front of an amazing building, the House of the Temple, headquarters of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in the southern jurisdiction of the United States. It looks like it could be at the Roman Forum. There are a couple of sphinxes on huge pedestals that flank the steps. It's evidently a careful knockoff of the mausoleum at Halicarnassus in modern Turkey. Well, yesterday we heard from author Dan Brown, whose latest novel, The Lost Symbol, is set in Washington, D.C., and it's all about Masons, and this temple actually figures in it. So what actually goes on inside? We went inside and met with Brent Morris, a mathematician by trade, who's now the editor of the Scottish Rite Journal.
Not a bad place for your club to hold its meetings.
Not a bad place. A little imperial purple on the throne.
Absolutely.
In the center of the temple room.
Yes.
Is an altar?
An altar. It's a large altar. On the front, in Hebrew, God said, "Let there be light," and there is light. When a Masonic meeting is open, a volume of sacred law is open, representing God's revelation to man. Mm-hmm. When a man becomes a member, he is asked to place his hand upon the book that he considers binding on his conscience. It's uh-huh. not the book that's binding on my conscience.
So there's a selection of books.
A selection of books. We've got a Bible, a Bhagavad Gita, a Pentateuch, the Zendavestas, the Sutras.
Quran.
Quran. This will cover, we figure, 99.9%. And if it doesn't, we'll get whatever's needed.
So what's happening here is at some level spiritual. It relates to religion. It is not a religion.
Absolutely right. One thing that we did in 1717, when the modern Masons were organized from a stone guild, we made the very radical statement that men of different religions can agree that God exists, they can agree that God compels them to do good in the community, and then they can stop talking about religion.
In The Lost Symbol, I mean, there are scenes set right in this very room.
Where we're standing.
And there are initiation rites, which I gather are secret. Wine drunk from a skull. Tradition?
Oh, that's we can trace that back to an 1880 anti-Masonic expose. There used to be another branch of Freemasonry in the United States, or another branch of Scottish Rite Masonry in competition with us, known as the Surnow Scottish Rite, because it was founded by Joseph Surnow, I think 1806. It's now dead. It's been dead for over a century. And they apparently used a skull and wine. It does not occur in the southern jurisdiction Scottish Rite or the northern jurisdiction Scottish Rite.
Because, you know, somebody's listening now and saying, well, of course he'll say that. He's not going to own up to it right on radio.
You're right. I mean, why should anyone trust me as a Mason?
The idea of Masonic secrecy has not always been funny. In the 19th century, the Vatican issued anti-Masonic encyclicals, one of them branding the Masons the Synagogue of Satan. Hitler ranted against the Masons. But even some Masons themselves have had fun with the order's secrets over the years. Mozart was a Mason, and his opera The Magic Flute is full of Masonic symbols. Rudyard Kipling was a Mason. His story, The Man Who Would Be King, was made into a terrific movie. It's a playful adventure story about Masons.
Then may I ask what particular interest you have in these scoundrels?
Well, they happen to be Freemasons, like myself.
Freemasons? Those chaps, I think you'd strike them off your rolls.
Oh, once a Mason, always a Mason.
Could understand how perfectly pucker chaps, like yourself, can go about on public occasions wearing aprons and sashes and shaking hands with total strangers. Just what is Masonry, Kipling?
Which is what I asked Jay Kinney, who has written a book called The Masonic Myth. Like Brent Morris, and like an estimated 1.4 million Americans, Kinney is a Mason. There were over 4 million in the 1960s. And while there are secrets to being a Mason, Jay Kinney says the boundaries of secrecy of Masonry are not very clear.
A lot of Masons just sort of assume that everything about the organization is a secret, and they just sort of clammed up. And that gave them a real reputation for being closed-mouthed. However, the actual secrets that are not supposed to be revealed tend to be just the modes of recognition, which boil down to a few handshakes and hand gestures, and the specific wording of degree rituals. But beyond that, the symbology is all over the place. Masons have traditionally had it on aprons, on certificates, on coffee cups, you know. I mean, it's all out there, and it's all fair game to discuss.
Here you have a fraternal order, more than a dozen of whose members became president of the United States over the history of the Republic. Often the temples are beautiful, fairly opulent structures. Often well-to-do businessmen belong to this. Can you see where the idea, a myth that inside those walls, in those secret rites, those guys run the world? Can you see the germ of that idea that would appeal to suspicious, perhaps paranoid people?
Oh, certainly. You know, and I think there may have been a smidgen of truth to that suspicion at one time. I think in some, particularly probably smaller towns, you had the shakers and movers of the community who were Masons, and, you know, it provided a sort of private venue for them to discuss things. So I'm not saying that there's never been a sort of use of the connections within Masonry among members, but I would say on the whole, on the average, that's just not happening. It's not going on. You know, it's largely at this point a social organization that people enjoy each other's company, but there isn't any discussion of power politics or how we're going to run the universe in the lodge room.
You don't have secret stairs that go down and find the secret of life down there.
No. And, you know,
it's very disappointing to hear, actually.
I know. It is a little anticlimactic.
That's Jay Kinney, author of the book The Masonic Myth. And you can hear our interview with Dan Brown from yesterday's program at npr.org.
And we'll leave you with a more modern composition about the Masons. If Mozart's The Magic Flute or the Kipling story aren't quite your cultural touchstones, this is the Stonecutter's Song from The Simpsons.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. We do. Who keeps Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps? We do. We do. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Steve Gutenberg a star? Of their sight. Who rigs every Oscar night? We do.